This Sunday, we conclude our message series on finding our purpose. We've been reflecting on the last weeks on how each of us has a special mission, a special purpose that God has placed us in this world to accomplish. And that as we enter into that and experience that in a deeper way, that we can experience peace, a sense of belonging, and that way of having understanding when different difficulties or trials come our way. As we conclude today, we especially reflect on the message of how we are called to something greater. Called to something greater. All of us have a deep desire in our heart to do amazing things. One of my favorite things is to ask someone, "What's your dream? What's that thing you've always longed for in your life? And when you just dream, if you could do anything, anything at all, what would that thing be?" Love hearing about people's dreams. But then what sometimes, and most of the times, honestly, will happen after I ask someone that question, they'll tell me the dream, and they'll dream for a moment, and then they'll say something along the lines of, "But it's never going to happen." I've even had a number of people say, "Ah, it's a pipe dream. It's just, it's not realistic." And the irony is, the very fact that we think that way is what actually keeps that very dream from being realistic. Because we think as human beings do. The saints, those who are able to accomplish miraculous, amazing, wonderful things, did not have that limitation that we so often put upon ourselves of saying, "Oh, well, it can never happen." The saints were able to accomplish their mission and their purpose because they realized that it was possible, that if they were seeking to do the will of God in their lives and they were asking God's grace and help to flow through them, that anything truly was possible. And they would have ways that sometimes they would have those dreams come into alignment with what God's will and what God's plan was. That happened with the saints. But it wasn't that they gave up a dream. They came to a deeper understanding. They came to a greater clarity of what that desire was and of what that special purpose and how would be the fullest sense of being able to accomplish that. A few weeks ago, I commented on how St. Francis of Assisi is a great example for that. When he first heard God telling him, "Rebuild my church," and he rebuilt a physical brick and mortar church, but then he realized that God was actually calling him on a much grander, bigger scale. Essentially, St. Francis of Assisi did not dream big enough at first. And God understood that. He knew that St. Francis needed to accomplish that smaller bit of the goal in order to be able to dream big enough and to accomplish that true mission or purpose that God had given to him. And so often what we don't realize is the very expression we hear our Lord mentioning to take up the cross is what keeps us from accomplishing those great dreams, those visions that we have in our heart. I personally believe that take up your cross is the most misunderstood of all Christian phrases and terms. I oftentimes will hear people use the phrase take up your cross, and it's almost like it's like a stoic kind of a thing. Some other expressions that could be substituted for the way I often find people think of take up your cross: grin and bear it, suck it up, buttercup, just do it, go forward, etc. Or eventually it'll get better. There are ways that we fundamentally don't understand what our Lord is saying in today's gospel when he invites us to take up our cross. Taking up our cross is actually all about freedom. And that might surprise you, that taking up your cross is about freedom, but that's what it really is about. The Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. Lose your life and you'll find it, because that is what will enable us to accomplish those greatest dreams that live in our heart. But when we don't take up our cross, that's what pulls us back down. When we don't lose our life for Christ, that's what actually is keeping us from accomplishing the very thing we want to accomplish. All of us have vices. All of us have the things we go to rather than going to God. I often will comment how Dr. Pepper is one of mine. And sometimes I like to reflect and think, in the time that I was taking a Dr. Pepper, especially let's say I was savoring my Dr. Pepper, enjoying how the sound is when you open it and the psh, et cetera, right? And being like, rather than chugging it, saying, I'm gonna take some time and I'm going to savor the flavor of my Dr. Pepper. Just imagine how much time that could add up over months, over years. Dr. Pepper, in one sense, we'd say, oh, it's not that expensive. But one of the things I've come to realize is nowadays, it's about 10 bucks for a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper, okay? Unless you can find one of the different sales deals, etc., that's going on. Imagine how much money I have probably invested in Dr. Pepper. Again, when you look at months, years, etc. Dr. Pepper is sucking time, energy, and even monetary funding from the very thing that probably is the greater desire that I have in my life and my greater mission. So when our Lord says, take up your cross, when he says, lose your life so you'll find it, he's saying, let go of those things that in ways you don't understand are draining you, are time sucking you, and are taking away from your time, your talent, your treasure, those things that God has given to accomplish that very dream that you have in your life and in your heart. If you look at any of the most successful people, they're very focused. They don't fall into the same kind of vices or other things oftentimes that people fall into. I've always admired that, even outside of church world as far as that goes, because they're so focused on that. We as Christians are invited to especially have that laser focus on the Lord. And as we grow in that and we let go of those other things that, again, suck away in so often ways that we don't realize at first, it's amazing to see, again, how more and more of our dream, of that deepest desire in our heart, gets accomplished, how we get more clarity in our purpose and mission, and how we accomplish that mission and purpose in ways that we never did before. Each of our crosses are meant to bring us freedom, are actually meant to help us to find our joy in the Lord rather than in joy in things of the world. I love to read the testimonies and examples of the martyrs. And if you've never read any of the account of the martyrs, I encourage, doesn't matter which one, they're all fascinating and they all share this thing. They're going through tremendous physical suffering and pain, and they're praising God. They're joyful. They're imprisoned. They're behind bars. And the jailers will often account, when we have accounts of the jailers from those who have imprisoned the saints, they'll even say things like, they were behind the bars, but I got the sense that I was actually the one behind the bar, and they were the one that was free. That's what it means to take up your cross. You experience a freedom, and you experience a joy. You experience an unhinging of all those things that were dragging you down in ways you often at first didn't even realize it, and in the ways that we got duped by the enemy, that we would spend time into those things instead. You take that away, and it's amazing, again, how much more we have to be able to accomplish the deepest desires and dreams that we have in our lives. That's why the martyrs are so joy-filled. And it's why any time someone sees a martyr, they want that. It's no coincidence in the history of the church, after great periods of martyrdom, that there's a huge influx of people who want to follow Christ. Because they see the martyrs, they see the joy, they see the energy, they see that way that their desires are satisfied, and they say, I want that. I want that. When we see someone who's actually taking up their cross, who's living for the Lord, who's letting go of the other things, and we see that joy, that fulfillment, that peace that they have, we're like, I want that. Because we see them being satisfied, and we realize that's where we're going to be satisfied as well. The responsorial psalm this weekend, a beautiful one, about how only God can satisfy that longing, that thirst. And there's even another soft drink company, not Dr. Pepper, by the way, one of their competitors, all right, that has marketed on that. The soft drink that's called the thirst quencher, right? Because it'll quench your thirst. And we want that. We want something that's going to quench that thirst, those desires, those longings of our heart. But only Jesus is the one who can do that. So as we choose to, again, take up that cross, allow God to free us, refocus us on our greatest dreams and longings, that thirst is satisfied. So as we end this homily series, I encourage all of us to reflect, what is your purpose? What's your mission? Why has God placed you in this world as his beloved one to accomplish? What's that thing that maybe you've even given up on because you just thought it couldn't be accomplished? And I don't care how old you are. I have seen people who even at the end stage of their life went back to that dream that they had and accomplished it. So it's never too late. Don't believe that lie of the enemy. And it's never too early if one's at more of the beginning stage of one's career. Plenty of people who are very successful and have accomplished their dreams. Look at how many of the saints were younger than 40 years old. So we don't want to believe those lies of the enemy. But reflect on that. Ask yourself, what is that mission? What is that purpose? What's that desire? But also be honest with yourself. What holds you back? What's the thing you need to die to? What's the thing you need to let go of? What's that thing that rather than actually bringing you joy has been the very thing that has been depriving you of the joy and of the time, the energy, the funding to accomplish that deepest mission and desire that you've had in your heart? Because once those things are exposed as an obstacle to what we want the most, that's when we're able to let them go. And we're able to turn them over to the person who can satisfy, quench our thirst, and our deepest longings. The one who gives us purpose, and the one who removes those things that deprive us from the freedom that we need to accomplish those dreams and deepest longings and desires of our heart.